This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Hey, hey. It is currently 6:02 in the evening on this lovely Thursday.
That's right.
So that would probably mean that it's time to tune in and tech out, because this is Tech Talks on WRFL Lexington, your only alternative left on the radio stereo dials of your Antennia listening devices.
Yeah, that's right. If you're listening to us here in Lexington, over the airwaves, or online.
Abroad, because fun fact, we do have several listeners in Australia, so shout out to those listeners in Australia. Anywho, with that, we're going to get started with some music, as we typically do, and we'll be back probably in a little bit to start doing some tech. We'll figure it out, and we'll let you know.
In the meantime,
back on.
Yeah. In the meantime, we got some music, and we'll come back around with some technology roundup for the week.
That's right. So first up on our list of things for your ears to listen to, we have Mo Kenny with the self-released album In My Dreams, and that song is going to be When I Count to Number 7. Pretty Things, because I take forever to count.
Don't you love when they're not labeled?
Yeah. Anywho, with that, Pretty Things by Mo Kenny, up right now on your only alternative left, WRFL Lexington. Keep it locked, all the way to the left. Well, what a lovely hour of music that was. And by hour, I mean half of an hour.
That it was? Well, you consider it was rolled straight on through from Nathan's show.
But he stopped. We didn't control that music.
It was... I bet just somebody's been listening for an hour. And if you have, thank you.
Indeed. But none the less, thank you for tuning in and teching out with us here at Tech Talks.
That's
where
right.
We are proud to announce that we are always here for your service. Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
We're here every Thursday for consultation and just kind of
consultation, dissertation,
spewing out of our thoughts and opinions and news and everything happening
which,
in the technology
know,
world.
Your ears may not want to hear that what which we have to say, and for those of you that listen nonetheless and do actually enjoy hearing what we have to say, we also thank you for that. Just such thank you is coming from this station on air room and coming across all these little tingly radio waves and flowing into your antennas. And just sort of, you know, when they flow into your antennas, they come out in the sound of our voice.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
And if you're listening to the internet, then that's just a super big wire bringing us right directly to you.
That's right.
So, with that, we are going to start off with 10 for 10. Yes, the returning segment, 10 for 10, which we have not done in approximately a month and a half.
This has been a while.
It has.
Yeah.
The classic returns, our first game we ever had on our radio show.
Yeah.
10 for 10.
Well, let's get at it. If you haven't heard us play 10 for 10 before, it's a pretty simple concept. I have a list here of 10 big events this week in technology, and I'm going to read it, and then Mitch is going to respond. All of this happening in a single minute. It's a good way to warm up sometimes, because it forces us to hit a whole lot of topics in really brief bits, many of which we'll cycle back around to and talk about later. But without further ado, Mitch, are you ready for 10 for 10?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
No,
maybe,
you're not ready?
Maybe in a few seconds.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not feeling it right now, man.
Okay.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Number one.
Uno.
Elon Musk has even been, quote, surprised. Yeah, no. Elon Musk, quote, surprised even us this week by announcing that there had been 400,000 pre-orders for the Tesla Model 3. I remember a couple weeks ago we reported that they had crossed the quarter million threshold. Now they're at 400,000 pre-orders. You have thoughts on that?
I think it was wildly more successful than anyone had right to think it would be.
That's fair.
I'm happy it's that successful. I really, really enjoy it being that successful. And so, with that, congratulations to Tesla and Elon Musk for doing a good job trying to bring something alternative. You know, we always talked about how we'd have an electric car, and a lot of people have more or less given up on the electric car concept in lieu of the regular hydrogen power that we've been seeing come about and be an issue lately. Nope, that's the dinky rinky bell. That means it's time to stop.
So, one quick follow-up question.
No.
Does this prove the viability of an affordable electric car in your mind, relatively speaking, affordable?
I'm not going to give any opinion of that until it comes out. Once
Fair
it
enough.
Comes out and
Fair
I see
enough.
Its performance, then I'll say whether or not it is an affordable electric car. But I think it's going to be out. The age of the electric car is going to be outstripped by the discovery of a hydrogen combustion engine in China.
Not unfair.
Which we've talked about before.
Yeah. Number two, Apple is delaying its earnings report for the memorial service of one of its advisors.
Ah.
It's actually going to be coming out next week. It was supposed to come out this week.
Well, that's understandable.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of happy to see Apple put personnel in front of business in such an example.
Yeah.
So good up on Apple. Good up on your PR. Definitely always put your employees before your earnings and your business requirements, because those are the people that work for you and bring your product to the people so that the people can enjoy it.
Apple lost one of their big employees this week, Bill Campbell, and so they encouraged people to take the afternoon off and go to his memorial service, which I think was a really nice service and helps kind of humanize them a little bit, you know?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. 110%.
That can be a big problem for a company.
Hey, look at that. The bell went dink.
Yep.
Where's the other one?
Oh, do you want me to get the more substantial bell out?
Let's have a comparison. First, the red bell. That was the black bell. Let's try the red bell. That's the first bell. Here's the bell I prefer.
That is a nicer ring.
Isn't that so much more pleasing? Anyways, continue.
All right. Number three, we talked to Pinterest CEO Ben Silverman this week about going public and private markets. Pinterest is one of the most valuable startups in Silicon Valley right now. It's worth $11 billion.
That's not surprising. A lot of people like Pinterest because there's just a whole slew of things that you can find on Pinterest that are related to things you enjoy. You're still trying to get to the end of the question.
No. I only have one follow-up question, so you can...
Okay, well, go on and ask the follow-up question, then we'll finish up the time.
Does it seem weird that Pinterest can monetize in a way that they can go public?
Yeah, it kind of does, because there's not a whole lot of advertisement on there.
Yeah,
unless like you're a business and you have a business Pinterest in which you put your products on there, and then you want them to
sponsored content
bump it up,
so
that it's more likely to show up in someone's newsfeed and then pin it to their wall. But now that you mention it, I'm a little confounded. Hey, look at that!
I'm glad that wasn't just me. Then.
No, you're not alone. You're never alone, Grant. I'm always there.
Number four, Wall Street is about to ask some tough questions of Google and their big bets this year.
Their big alpha bets?
Yeah. Google
Zing.
Is releasing their second earnings report since becoming Alphabet today. Earlier today, they released it. And the
How'd
response was strong and positive. Google's stock went up $6.50 today.
So what were the hard questions?
Well, I mean, you think about it. This self-driving project is one of the few things they have right now that's been going on that's coming to fruition. Because that is a lot of resources that they poured into this, of course. And so 99% of Alphabet's revenue comes from Google. But pretty much everything else they do is losing money right now. From Nest to the life sciences group Verily, pretty much everything that's not
Google
or Android is losing money.
I kind of thought that would happen. Whenever that Google gave up being itself to an extent, I kind of suspected that anything that didn't have that Google brand name attached to it would sort of start to fall off, like Alphabet. Just because Google has been so insanely successful. You know, people, it's literally become something that was invented and is now a common term.
Permeated.
It's invaded every form of our society. If you ever want to know anyone, just say, someone will literally look at you and say, Google it. You don't hear anyone say Yahoo it. You don't hear anyone say Bing it. You hear them say Google it.
Yeah, yeah. It's become a commodity that is an example.
Not even a commodity. It's become a standard.
Yeah.
I mean, if they were to turn Google off right now, the backlash...
People would lose their mind.
The backlash would be crazy. And we don't get to talk anymore.
Good solid ring.
Was it? I don't agree.
Number five. There is... Are you familiar with Nijix?
No, I'll leave you the pronunciation of that to you.
It's similar to Apache in that it handles web servers.
Oh, is this a good thing or is it going to be exactly like Apache?
Well, it already exists, and they raised $8 million this month. It's used by 150 million websites, and they, quote, want to run everything. They're working on branching out Nijix so that it can handle being run on a number of different platforms.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to call it its full name, it's Nginx, by the way. If that makes it easier.
Okay, yeah, I think I've heard of that.
Okay. Well, anyways, Nginx has raised something like $8 million. I knocked the bell off the table.
Way to knock the timer off, buddy.
Yeah. Anyways, it's just they've raised a lot of money moving towards an Internet of Things kind of approach so that they would be able to run Nginx on a broader platform of devices.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. I would be curious to see how it stood up against Apache, which has long, long since been the standard.
Yeah. Although I will say that X has come quite a long way. And it's doing pretty well for itself.
Well, yeah. I won't argue any of those points. I just will say that Apache brings a certain name to the table, much in the way that Google brought a name to the table, and Java,
fair enough,
for a while there, had a name at the table.
Fair enough. As you pointed out this week, Microsoft has ended production of the Xbox 360.
Dun, dun, dun!
I'll give you the rest of the full minute.
All right. Sadness. Such sadness pervaded my soul the other day when I was scrolling innocently, harmlessly through the Facebooks, and there, upon my newsfeed, sat a piece of horror. It was a notification, a message, a herald from the internet and video gods. And it said... Cast out thine Xbox 360s, for they are no longer in production. And from that moment on, my heart has known a sadness that is colder than the Arctic and Antarctic combined and squared.
360 was produced for over a decade.
It
That's impressively
was the
long-lived.
Longest running console in this millennia.
So there's something in the 20th? That lasted longer?
There may have been. I'm just being extremely accurate on this one.
That's fair. You're being precise.
I don't know. There may be something longer running in the in our previous millennia. I'm going to continue to talk no matter what you say. Anyways, this is a big topic, Grant. We need to afford it what it's due.
A minute, like everything else.
No. Anyways, so yes, it lasted. The Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 2, I believe, came out as competing consoles, more or less at the same time. Since then, the Xbox 360 remained in production through the new PS2, or the PS2 Slim, whatever it was, the PlayStation 3, and whatever its other iterations were.
I think they even did a Slim version of 3.
Yeah, and then the PlayStation 4. It lasted for... consoles.
Yeah, and 4 is about the point where they started phasing it out and they really put production
They're really pushing on
the
Xbox One, which there are some things that they've had backlash on and they need to improve, I will admit. But overall, the Xbox One is an interesting and unique experience. However, the game library of the Xbox 360 is still huge, especially for multiplayer.
Well, because it was alive for so long.
Exactly, and it's going to be interesting to see how long they keep the 360 servers and all those games servers running before they are finally like, well, we got to shut this down. Because I know for a fact that our generation has been hesitant to purchase the Xbox One, that they've wanted to stay with the 360 because it's what we grew up with, it's what we know. Unlike the PlayStation, which has sort of, you know, evolved in and of itself, and people are comfortable getting the new one of those. I'll shut up now. Continue.
The number 7 yesterday was the 20th of April, and Snapchat came under some fire for a feature.
Yeah, that I commented on that yesterday, saying that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Surprise, here we are talking about it now.
So, I don't
feel comfortable explaining what happened. If you want to know more about it, feel free to Google it. Who knows? There may even be a blog post about it on our blog sometime soon.
That's true.
Tech Talks is getting a blog here in the next coming weeks.
As are all of your favorite shows.
That's right. You heard it first. You heard it here on Tech Talks. WRFL.FM is becoming so much more interactive to where eventually you will be able to go on there and find the blogs of your favorite shows.
We're going to be rolling that out at the start of next month. So, indeed.
But, definitely, if you want to know more about the whole Snapchat debacle, please just Google Snapchat. Just personally, I don't feel comfortable throwing it out over the air.
Yeah, so,
we're going to move on to number 8.
Number 8, Hollywood has written a comedy involving Uber. In fact, they've written 2 green-lighted scripts involving Uber, one of them starring Will Ferrell. The question in my mind is, why?
Yeah.
Has Uber already become this ingrained in culture?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's a common phrase to say, you know, like, tip your Uber driver or you know, get an Uber.
Fair enough.
They were the first on the scene. That's why they got to set the standard, just like Google was. Google was, I'm pretty sure, the first search engine, if I'm not mistaken.
There were several before it, but they quickly
died off. Okay. Well, then I am incorrect in saying that Google was the first
It was one of the first ones with lasting power.
Yeah, it was definitely the first successful.
And I'm sure somebody tried this whole ride-sharing thing prior to Uber, and it just didn't pan out, you know?
It was called carpooling, and it was a time when you actually knew the person.
Fair enough.
So, anyways, that's about all I have on that one. Ding! Fries are done.
Second to last, BMW and another company have teamed, have both mutually said that they are not teaming up with Apple. Let me phrase it that way.
So BMW and another company said, we're not making a car with Apple.
Yeah.
Cool. Good. Keep it that way. That's all I have to say on that. Literally. The Apple car, it is overreaching. It's brand, I would say. Its brand is known for music and phones and internet-related devices.
Is Google overreaching its brand?
Google has always been known for being an experimentative company.
Fair enough.
Especially in recent years with the Google Glass. They made that part of their persona with all of their projects. Now, Apple hasn't done anything like that.
As experimental, as risque?
No. They've stayed comfortable, they've stayed safe, and that, to me, has helped form their identity. And that's literally all I have to say about it. An Apple car would be a bad idea.
Fair enough. And lastly, Sony is cutting its full-year profit forecast by 10%.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why?
Sony had a really rough quarter, and so they're cutting their profit forecast by 10%, which is
a big
huge
amount,
which is substantial. I mean, that is
for Sony.
That,
now, any other company, if you were to cut your profit margin by 10%,
that would be devastating.
Oh yeah,
but I think Sony has just enough staying power not to completely crumple.
I don't know. I definitely feel that the Lizard Group's hacking attack on the PlayStation Network last year probably helped push a lot of people away from PlayStations.
Fair enough.
Which is a very large portion of Sony's profit margins.
And it was the second holiday season in a row that they'd been attacked.
Exactly.
Successfully.
And you know, my little sister was affected by it. She'd gotten a PlayStation 4 and was unable to play any of her games because the PlayStation 4 requires you to download the game mm-hmm. from the internet in addition to the disc, and was unable to play any video games whatsoever on Christmas Day on her brand new console, which is totally devastating and disappointing. But
yeah.
That has been 10 things in 15 minutes, making it 10 for 10 over 15.
Fair enough.
Two words. Or 1-4-1 over 1.5. Oh, gosh. I'm just being tired at this point.
Do you want to cut it so that we take 90 seconds per segment?
No.
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 Fair enough.
No. Alrighty. So, with that, folks, that's all we have for 10 for 10.
And that's all the time we have as well. So we're going to be taking
We're leaving. We're not. No more. No more tech talks ever again. This was it. Joke. It's on you.
We're going to be taking a break.
Yeah,
playing some music. Got some stuff lined up. Do you know what we got lined up next? Because I can't see your stack over there.
We've got Tribe Society
nice.
Coming up. Followed by. Because I like this fade in noise. The Suffers.
Okay.
And The Rough Guide to Bottleneck Blues, all coming up next on The Only Alternative Left, WRFL Lexington.
That's right. This is Tech Talks. We'll be back here in a little bit.
Adios. Hey there, everybody. First of all, Grant, I don't know why Google's purple. Hashtag insights into mine and Grant's off-air conversations. Secondly, I'm just here to tell you, Prince, that's right, passing of a great legend today. Such sadness will reign. 2016, as a friend of mine posted, needs to stop taking all of our greatest artists, because it's taken quite a few so far. So, with that, I just wanted to hop on here and say hello, and let you know that you're tuned into Tech Talks here on WRFL Lexington, and we want to thank you for tuning in and checking out with us. However, we're going to keep the tunes a-rolling, and we'll hop back on here and let you know here in about 15 minutes that it's time to tech out again. So, with that, keep it locked at WRFL Lexington.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.
Alrighty, everyone, we are back. That lovely little intro. So, welcome back to Tech Talks. Thank you for joining us. So, what else have we got to talk about today? We're going to hop on a little early today. It would help if I let you talk to our loving fans.
I was wondering where that echo was.
Yeah. I apologize.
Jumping right into it, Ubuntu version 16.04 is now available, which is the next main long-term release, which is a little bit of a big deal as far as Ubuntu being the largest, most broad, most widely used distribution of Linux. This is the next update to the long-term cycle. So here we are. This is the 2016 distribution, so it's pretty exciting that they have another of the long-term support ones, which I know a lot of people that use it only like to use the long-term support because it doesn't get phased out. And it's got some exciting stuff, including the snap formatting. So, that complaint that you had, Mitch, about how my computer doesn't snap the windows?
Yeah.
Ubuntu now has window snapping.
Oh, yeah. Off-brand OSs do the good things. Oh yeah.
Yep, and LXD is getting a update, so there's a lot of cool stuff.
I'm not gonna lie, to me it just took me a few seconds to process that. I could have swore you said LSD and I was like, okay, wait a minute, what? And then I realized you said LXD. Yep. I apologize.
Nah, it's
been a long day.
Yeah, it has. So it's just exciting to see probably the most widely used open source platform in the world. I don't know. It's just exciting every time it gets updates because it kind of reminds me that it's still, you know, out and in existence and still getting updated. And it's a lot of fun. I now know what I'm going to be doing this weekend as far as getting that 16.04 update, but that's just me. Apparently, Ubuntu is going to be also moving in with Snapcraft packaging, which is similar to Debian development files. If you're familiar with Linux, this is exciting because it's another way by which you'll be able to download and install new packages and write your own packages. So should be a more flexible environment is how they're praising it. I don't know if
fancy.
I have a whole lot else as far as this goes, but that's the big highlight. Microsoft is continuing to support Ubuntu moving forward, which means that the Bash update coming to Windows for the anniversary edition will support 16.04. So that's so you'll be able to get the latest update of Ubuntu in your Windows virtual environment. Mm-hmm. if you want
Bash. I'm not gonna lie, I'm really excited and looking forward to the Windows 10 update to where they are finally supporting Bash.
Yeah.
For those of you that do not know and are Windows users, Bash is the same thing if you're a Mac user when you open up the terminal, which is under all your applications, and you go down into the utilities folder. Terminal is a command line prompt. It's exactly like command line for Windows,
except it runs native Linux.
Yes, shell. And has its own set of commands. So basically, Windows users are not only getting their command line prompt
and PowerShell, they're
and
also
PowerShell.
Getting true Ubuntu
Linux.
Mm-hmm. A true Linux Bash.
Mm-hmm. Which is really impressive to have all of that into one OS.
And it is exciting, and to me that speaks volumes in that Windows as an operating system is starting to take down some of the walls in its garden, and that makes me really mm-hmm. happy personally that we're finally seeing a world in which I can write a script that runs on a Linux machine, it runs on a Mac, and it runs on certain versions of a Windows PC.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
It's really actually going to natively change PC gaming.
Oh, massively.
Especially if now that all of these things have one specific set in common, which at this point I believe is only Linux, is the in common behavior, then I would say you're going to start now seeing a lot of PC games start getting written in Linux code.
I'm really, really hoping that we see that because a lot of the programming C headers are already there. I'm excited to see that integrate with something like Microsoft Silverlight getting a native port to Linux to Bash, because if you put that together, that means that everything that runs Silverlight for gaming on Windows will be able to move over and get ported. And that's something I'm really hoping that they do moving forward, because that opens up the world, really.
Oh yeah, definitely. And like you said, there's just so much opportunity available for anything gaming related when it comes to a true universal I don't want to say OS.
You think we're going to see the walls come down all the way around? Xbox is in talks with PlayStation to come up with a cross-platform.
They have been. Microsoft has been in a very radical change of mindset lately. Before now, they've always been very closed. You know, you stay on your side of the fence, we'll stay on ours.
I think it's Windows 10. That's really...
I really do. I think someone got in higher up and said, listen, we keep hearing from the people that this is what they want. Let's go with this crazy idea, man. Let's give the people what they want, not what they think they want. And I bet at that point, the Microsoft board of directors was like, whoa, dude. What?
Just the far-out thought of doing something that people actually want them to do rather than just making changes.
Making something that everyone's like, yeah, I didn't know I needed that, but thanks, Windows, for thinking I needed that. Yeah. Cool, I guess, yeah. And in reality, Windows 10 is like, yeah, we're giving you what you want. And we're like, yeah, you are. Give us more.
Yeah. No, Windows 10, they've really hit their stride on a variety of things. They found a way to build in native apps.
Which may speak wonders also to why what's happening with PlayStation and Sony. They may be a little behind the curve. We definitely know Apple is. Apple has yet to start playing nice with a lot of Windows things, whereas Windows is now starting to play nice with a lot of Apple things, or attempting to. So it's going to be very interesting to see if Windows is going to eventually and slowly emerge to be, you know, one true OS. If we ever get to a world where there's truly one OS, that it is successful, that not many people... you know, are going to change it. Because let's be honest, Ubuntu is basically a native Linux thing.
Everything at this point either runs Linux or runs
Windows
derivative. And as everybody shifts over to Windows 10, it will become truly just the Windows 10 operating system and Linux.
Everyone else.
Yeah. And that's it. And now that we have a path, albeit it's one directional, from Linux bash to Windows, but still we have a flow of media.
We have something that can access anything, any format you give it, any command you give it, any prompt, it can handle it.
It's prepared for virtually everything that
which is going to be really interesting to see how many servers start going to Windows, because there are a lot of servers that are Linux based. There's a lot of servers that are you know, by default, since, you know, all Apple servers are made by or are based on a Linux kernel, you know, and see how many of those start switching to Windows, because let's be honest, Windows has always been cheaper. And now not only are they being cheaper, but they're including more than what the other guys are including. With pretty comparable, I mean, I'll admit the displays on Windows machines, they're subpar to Apple displays. I'll give them that. But even then, if you want a very high res Apple display, you can hook it up to a Windows machine. Yeah. You can.
Functionally, there's nothing stopping you from
taking
it. And
it will render and look just as good as Apple Mac OS.
Man, this is so exciting for me personally, as somebody who has had to deal with bridging this gap.
Oh yeah.
That we're seeing this flow of media and the new Ubuntu version, and it just feels like it's all kind of coming together, and the walls are starting to come down.
Not to mention, we have to admit that Microsoft Office natively works a lot better on Microsoft machines.
Let's not lie. That's 100% true.
Nice try, Microsoft, giving Apple a subpar version, but everyone knows the truth. Yeah. Anywho.
Coming up next, you want to take time for another quick segment here?
Sure.
Facebook Messenger back in the news because they have announced that they're going to keep adding features to the Messenger app, which is exactly what I've heard zero people ever say. You know what needs more features?
The Messenger
app. The Messenger app. You know what needs to become more bloated?
The Messenger app. You know what else? The Messenger app.
Well, now you can phone and video chat within Messenger within a group chat.
Okay. I'm going to go on a limb here and say that actually is nice, because you can make a Facebook group chat and, you know, basically do a Google Hangout. That's basically what it is.
A Skype session. All of these infrastructures that are already in place.
Yeah, but now you've got it all on one social media platform. You know, a lot of people, almost everybody has a Facebook. Many people, you know, a lot of people forget their Skype login. I guarantee you ask anyone with their Facebook login, they're going to know immediately what it is. You ask them what their Skype login is, it's connected to my Facebook. I don't know. And that's, I will admit, for all the other bloated stuff they put in there, the video call within a group chat is actually really nice to see Messenger do, because Messenger is one of those things that is nice in what it does. There are others that do it better, and others that you know. It's just Messenger has the access to the people you want to talk to in the easiest way to access them.
Fair enough.
You know, most of your friends, if you ever need to contact them and you have no other recourse, you will use Facebook if you're Facebook friends. Would you not? If you didn't have their phone number or their personal email or know where they lived, you would Facebook them.
If I had to, yeah.
I mean, basically, that situation I just described, if you don't know where they live, you don't have their phone number, you don't have their email, your only other option really is either pay a private investigator to find them, or B, message them on Facebook.
Yeah.
Which accomplish the same thing. One of them's free, the other one's pretty expensive and makes you look like a paranoid person.
Yeah.
Plot twist. Messenger. That's Messenger.
Messenger's in a pretty prime position. They already have 900 million active monthly users. Let's let that number sink in.
That's, I'm not almost gonna lie, I use it myself when I'm here in the station, because it's a cell service death trap. And so, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I use it because that's how 90, you know, if nothing else, 90% of my friends have me added on Facebook, and if I need to get a hold of them, I can message them on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, and by adding that video chat in there on Messenger, that makes things, honestly, everything in one place. You know?
Yeah, fair enough. So it towers over Skype's 30 million users, or 300 million users, you know, by a factor of 3 to 1.
Yeah.
Here, Messenger is primed to run away and become the new standard on this.
On video chatting, yeah.
Group.
Now, I would say for businesses,
video chatting.
Businesses and other things will continue to use Skype.
Yeah.
But as far as just, you know, the local college kids wanting to hang out and work on a project, they'll probably use Facebook.
Fair enough.
So that's personally my opinion. That's where I see this headed.
Fair enough.
Next article.
All right. What was the next
article? Articleta.
Talking about modding video games. Coming back around.
Why did you just try to call me from Messenger?
Because I wanted you to say exactly that. I was just messing with you.
I realized this. Are you going to leave me a voicemail?
Oh, I should. Anyways, Sega has embraced modded games. A lot of games, especially old console games that have been ported over to PC versions and downloadable and ROMs and all of that, legally exist in a very gray area.
Yeah, that's a pretty good description.
Sega, as a company, now basically defunct, understands that and has sided with the consumers here. And Sega is actually encouraging people to make modifications to old games that were console based, and they're actually going to be curating ROM files of old games.
Nintendo, why weren't you on top of this? Sega has just primed itself to take this entire market from you. If there's anyone who works for Nintendo and you're listening to us, firstly, thank you. We're seriously flattered. Secondly, why haven't you been on top of the ROM business? I know Nintendo has been shutting ROMs down left and right ever since they first came out.
But I think they need to spin it the other way around. Honestly, they need to embrace.
If nothing else, they should have embraced it and made it available on, like, the app stores.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to lie. You know that Nintendo, being the owner of Pokemon and the Pokemon Company, for example, you know people would pay $10 to be able to...
Oh, absolutely. Per game, I would pay at least 10. I would pay. I would, no question asked, pay $10 a piece.
You could probably even get 15. Given, you could probably ask 15 for, especially like the original Pokemon games.
Especially if they curate an environment where I can start a game on my laptop and then pick it up on my desktop and then play it on my phone.
I wouldn't even say that. I mean, that would be awesome. And Nintendo, that would be a great idea.
Go for
listen
it.
To this. But more importantly, just give us 0.5% of the profits and we'll be happy. No, so like my big thing is that if they would come out with a way in which you could, you know, by Bluetooth or something, trade Pokemon or wirelessly trade Pokemon on the original games and made them, you know, mobile ROMs, because to be honest, the code back then was fairly sluggish
and it was fairly directly driven for whatever platform it was
on. But the thing is the way that things are now today, I would say it'd be easy that a team of developers could, you know, code that game with its same graphics, because let's be honest, people are going to want those same graphics.
That's critical.
They could code that game in more modern code than what it was in, faster than what they could have done, and add in features better than they ever could have at this given moment.
I would agree with that, and it's surprising to me that, to say of all people, Sega is the first one to take this on.
Really, though? Like, that's like saying Atari did this.
Yeah.
Atari made a ROM of Pong. Woo! Yeah.
But, yeah, no, the Classics Hub is supporting 40 Genesis titles. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's like, there's a company, or there's this guy now who's figured out on a Raspberry Pi how he took a Game Boy Color cartridge and a Game Boy Color and made a few updates to the Game Boy Color, including a much higher resolution LED display.
Nice.
Put it in place and added a few extra buttons on there to account for newer games, like on the Nintendo DS. And he took his Raspberry Pi, downloaded the ROMs, and, you know, in the casing of the Game Boy Color game, added in modern circuitry and components that can handle long-term, you know, lots of more memory than those Game Boy Color cartridges ever could. And basically has made a programmable Game Boy Color cartridge that you can store up to like 20 games on.
That's wild.
And play at any given time off the same hardware at the same cost of batteries. Like, you wouldn't have to change batteries out, but maybe...
Honestly, modern hardware, you could be smarter about it and, you know, choose performance over quantity, and you could probably parse down the amount of power it would use. You know, you could make it run twice as long, honestly, with a new screen and with...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I what I'm saying here is I think we're going to see this become even more of an art over the next decade. We're going to see people
retro gaming, gosh, what was the name of those... And... it was basically antique technology. We discussed it the other day because VHS cassette tapes got classified. Antech.
Yeah.
Instead of antique, you've got Antech becoming a big thing now. VHSs have officially been classified as Antech. They are technology that is now antique, much in the same way that the Game Boy Color, the Sega Genesis, the original Atari console... All of these things have been classified as Antech and are super valuable, especially because cassette tapes, you've got cassette tapes that are such finicky things that they're so easily destroyed. And, you know, most often machines, when rewinding them or fast-forwarding them, most of the time will eat the tapes. And, you know, universities like Yale and Harvard have actually started VHS libraries and collections. Because there are a lot of films in that era that were low budget, really, really bad, but had lots of cultural value
and worth preserving.
And they are definitely worth preserving that were released only on VHS tapes that were not mass produced. There's literally no VHS, there's no master copy anymore. It was just a bunch of VHS tapes were run and sold. Now they're in someone's garage or in landfills or destroyed.
Yeah.
And so they're attempting to get a hold of
as many as they can.
I know I have the original Pokemon movie and the second Pokemon movie on VHS, and I'm terrified to actually put them in my I went out and bought digital versions, because for this year, for the 20th anniversary, they re-released the first three Pokemon movies on Blu-ray. I went out and bought digital versions of them because I'm afraid to put those VHSs in and lose them and then be destroyed.
Fair enough.
And you're going to start seeing a lot more people do things like that. Now, for me, it's because those tapes have sentimental value. But for some people, it's just they're antiques. It's like vinyl was. People had a crud ton of vinyl just sitting in their garages and things like that that they just don't want to throw away.
It's seen a renaissance.
Yeah, it's honestly seeing a renaissance right now. People want the feel of that old Game Boy in their hands playing modern games.
I have one last bombshell for you.
Oh, goodness.
The Classic Hub with 40 Genesis titles is coming to Steam and the Workshop.
Nice.
Which means they're not just encouraging you to mod, they're giving you a platform to do it with.
Exactly. The Steam Workshop's hilarious, especially for games like Age of Empires 2.
Yeah.
That game is great.
Or things like Garry's Mod or Team Fortress 2.
Yes.
Good quality modding fun.
It is. Oh, well, we're geeking out so hard right now, everyone.
Point is, it's just exciting to see this renaissance of old games coming around in a format where we're encouraging them and opening up the licenses on them and encouraging
and that's like,
people
in
to be
honesty,
fun with them.
Nintendo owns the rights to all of their games for 75 years. Yeah. Like the games they produced in pre-2000s, everything was licensed for 75 years, so at least
another
2070.
Years of it. Yeah.
Yeah, till, you know, 2070 is when those technically will no longer be copyrighted and will be technically open source.
Yeah.
If they'll even be relevant at that point. You know, I would hope that Pokemon stays relevant till 2070. I really do. I don't know.
The fact that Nintendo doesn't jump on this exactly right here, porting over old games and encouraging people to buy them and modify them, that would just be such
an enrichment. They kind of have. They've just restricted their platform for it. In the newer generation consoles, like the 3DS and the Wii U, they actually have what they call virtual consoles built into their stores that are via the internet. So if you go to the Nintendo store on a 3DS, you can buy old Game Boy Color games. And if you go to the Wii U, you can buy like Game Boy Advance games, some Game Boy Color games, and all that, and play on your Wii U on the TV or on the handheld gamepad. And so in that aspect, they are being smart and they are selling these ROMs, because that's basically what they are. They're ROMs with some updates. They're just not making them open source or even, you know, like buy access to, you know, these titles, you know. But if they would put them on Steam as well, you know, and on the app stores, if they would just expand their platform for their virtual consoles they have, they would make a killing. I mean, I would definitely know, you know, they could easily come up out with their own virtual console app, make it free, and that you buy the games to use with it. And that they enhance a lot of connectivity features, you know, like enable Pokemon trading or linking, like what you would do with the Link cable through these virtual consoles. It would just be a great market for them to expand into, and they've sort of got one foot in the door and are just hesitating to walk in and embrace it.
The fact that they're hesitating could be damaging to them long term, though.
Especially seeing that Sega is jumping on this.
They're missing out on a huge opportunity here.
Even if they started reproducing those original Game Boy Color handhelds as like a some sort of anniversary edition thing and made the programmable hardware like what that Raspberry Pi owner does.
If they
would go to him and buy him out and start producing that,
they would fly off the shelves.
They would. People would go out and get them right now. I would be tempted to go out. And if someone told me that was at a Walmart right now.
A Nintendo license.
You and I would sit here for another 22 minutes until we were able to leave, and then we'd go straight to a Walmart.
No question in my mind.
So, well, with that, do you have more?
No. That's all for this segment.
Well,
do you want to take a quick break?
I think we can go on and take a quick break, or we can go on and sign off right now. Like we said, we've got 22 minutes. We can fly out on the wings of some music.
I have one more article, so if you want to go through that, and then we'll call it quits for today.
Sure.
All right. Apple has pegged their expectation for your usage for an iPhone or an iPad at 3 years. Apple, along with a number of groups that develop both handheld devices and larger laptops, desktops, are required to assess the life cycles of their products. Because of the nature of how disposable things are, they're encouraged to keep tabs on how long their phones, their laptops, whatever, are lasting. Apple, in their report this week, said that the owners of iPhones hang on to their devices for 3 years. This is true for iPads as well, and according to the beginnings of the research, they expect the same to be true for the Apple Watch. Which is interesting, because I feel like everybody I know either holds on to an iPhone for like 5 years, or they hold on to it for one. And so
I think, honestly, that another thing they need to take into account in this study is the length of people's contracts.
That's true.
Or the term cycles before they are eligible for upgrades. I would say that the reason it's 3 years is that they're taking into account for the people who... Because most phone contracts are every 2 years you get an upgrade.
Yeah.
So I would say most of those are, you know, that are slightly longer, who hold on to them 3 years, are those who got a new phone 1 year after it came out, and then the new phone came out and they have to hold on to their old one for a little bit longer until they're done and they can get a new one, or they may wait until the next top of the line one comes out.
That's fair. Some people do sign up for two cycles in a row with the same phone because you save a little bit of money there. I mean, it makes
sense.
You do,
but that's 4 years without a phone upgrade, and there's a lot of stuff that can happen to your phone in 4 years.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't do it personally.
What's interesting is to see... I'm interested in how phone damage, especially for the iPhones, which are, you know, at this point notorious about screen damage.
Oh, yeah.
How that impacts those numbers and what that looks like. Because I'm sure for people that don't damage their screen, you know, there's very little motivation in general to immediately upgrade the next battery iPhone.
I would say,
is probably the biggest motivator.
I would say battery power, no matter what, is the biggest motivator.
Yeah. Oh, quick little PSA here, public service to you. If you're charging your phone, don't let it sit on the cradle all night. That is the number one way to just destroy your phone's battery life.
It's true. I fell in victim for it. It's a bad habit, especially for those of you who throughout the day don't have the time to do that. Here is an alternative that I've found. You can go online. They actually have these mobile battery packs that you can get and carry around with you, charging sticks, charging packs, or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can those are actually much better at being able to be charged overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get one of the bigger battery packs that will charge your phone up to 100% twice before it dies, if you will.
Yeah.
That's a pretty standard length pack. And get that, charge it overnight, and then use it
to charge your phone
midday. Just plug your phone into it, keep it in your purse, your backpack, carry it in your pocket. Some of them are actually rather small.
If you can charge it twice, you can sometimes make it 2 days.
Yeah, then. Exactly. It'd be 2 days between having to charge the battery pack, which saves its life as well, and would help overall improve your battery's performance in your phone.
So that the battery pack is taking the damage on the battery life rather than your phone.
And it's a much larger battery pack, which means that it can handle more of a charge at a longer duration than the smaller batteries in your phone.
Alternatively, what I do is I charge my phone first thing when I get home in the afternoon or in the evening. I put my phone on to charge, and then I take it off after I have
dinner. Do you turn your phone off overnight?
No, I usually don't.
Okay. I know some people that do that. They charge it full, go to bed, and turn their phone off overnight. I know I personally don't do that in case I get a phone call in the middle of the night for whatever reason. And I feel like most people also have that same excuse. Another option is to, you know, if you are particularly up a little, you know, an hour or so before you have to get going for the day, then charge it in the morning. Yeah. Wake up, plug your phone in, you know, nap in bed a little bit longer, get up, take a shower, do your stuff. And you know, eat breakfast, and then get your phone off the charger, go and go about your day with your battery pack.
Same rules apply to tablets as well. You can charge those from a battery. Laptops, you really have to take the charge it while you're awake approach.
If you leave it plugged in overnight, it's easily going to affect your battery life.
I have slaughtered the battery life. And you know, in the first battery that I bought with this laptop, I got it down to the point it wouldn't last 45 minutes. It wouldn't make it through an entire class without being charged. Because I would boot it up at the start of class, and I wouldn't be sitting next to an outlet, and it would die a couple minutes before the class ended. And, you know, that's just so convenient that I had to go get another. Like, it was absurd.
Now, of course, big batteries don't want us to tell you this, much in the way big tobacco may be against telling you that smoking causes other health issues. But big batteries doesn't want you to know that by charging your phone in smarter ways, you can avoid harming your phone's battery life.
And you can extend the lifespan and length of your battery dramatically.
Because they want to sell you those replacement batteries, so big batteries won't tell you this, man.
Fair enough.
I couldn't resist going a little conspiracy talker on y'all. But it's fine. We're gone. We're out for this week. We're done. We've teched out. We're all teched out. We're tapping out. We're getting out. But first, we're going to play music for 45 minutes. And by 45, I mean 15, because I'm just all over the place today. So we're going to play music for 15 minutes before the Party Panda Power Hour with DJ Spencer Sell.
Wow.
Can I hear that wow one more time?
Wow.
Thank you. Anyways.
Is that what you wanted?
That was most satisfactory. In fact, I want that to be my ringtone.
Wow. No, that's what you get when you get text messages.
Yeah, that's it. That's my new text ringtone. Anyways, with that, folks, up next on the music side of things, we have the Chandler Estate, followed by Pete Yorn, and after that, we have Lapsley. And for our playlist and more, you can go to WRFL.fm and open the menu button. And for those of you on our mobile devices, it is the icon in the upper left-hand corner. Just tap that and then go down to playlist, hit that button, and that will give you a complete playlist including times, artists, tracks, and albums of everything we've played during the show and any show.
Yeah.
So, with that, everybody, we are so happy that you have tuned in. Thank you so much for listening to Tech Talks. We will be out of here right about meow.
All right.
Keep it locked all the way to the left at your only alternative left, WRFL Lexington.
What was that? Oh, yeah. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in.